Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. If you're listening to this podcast episode, the energy of ease is trying to come into your life, and we are going to show you how to do that in today's episode. If you're a new listener, hi, I'm Nikki Novo, and to my OG community, my beautiful soul sisters, welcome to today's episode. So you know how I have episodes that are messages about blah, 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 energy of whatever, whatever. I'm adding a new series and I'm calling it Shifting Into Whatever, Whatever. And today's episode is Shifting Into Ease. And this feels like a series of episodes that will come as they come that are more kind of action oriented. I want to give you some practical ways to actually shift into the energy. Because if you've been listening long enough and you know, yeah, it's cool to hear me predict and, you know, see what's coming and all that. But what I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to shift our energy from where it is to a higher vibration so that our reality can then reflect that higher vibration. So it's like, have you ever tried to manifest something and either it's not working, like you're not manifesting it, or you manifested it, but you're like, oh, damn, I manifested it in the wrong way. For example, oh, I want all this abundance, and you manifest the abundance, but you're working harder than you've ever worked before, right? It's like because we're focusing more on the thing that we want rather than the energy that we want. And in this podcast, all we do is talk about energy. So I like to shift us there so that we can, yes, change our realities, have a new life, but at the same time, change it in a way that works for our energy and really gives us what we want from a sense of feeling and peace and a groundedness. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about shifting into ease because that's really coming forward. I know not everybody's going to listen to this episode, so not everybody's letting ease come into their life. But those of us who are here and receiving, it's because ease would like to come into the picture. So ease was coming forward to me because I was feeling into summer. So currently, you know, we're in April or this will come out in May. And summer for me as a mom is this time where the rules have to change, right? In order to actually survive summer, I have to rearrange so much in such a quick amount of time and do things so differently. If not, I am going to drown. And I have drowned many summers, like did not get ahead of it, totally drowning between like running my business and taking care of kids and keeping up with play dates and summer vacations, but then also like losing my own goals. And it's been this horrible cycle. And as I started feeling into summer, I was like, well, what's gonna be the most helpful for us? And what I was getting was like, oh, like we need to shift into ease. Even though we're going to shift into ease, that does not mean that we lose all the things that we want. It's almost like saying, well, yeah, I'm going to shift into ease in the summer, but that means I'm going to make no money. And I'm okay with that. And that's, I've definitely done that before. I've definitely done like, okay, I'm taking off the whole month and that's cool. I'm just preparing for knowing I'm not going to make money that month, but I want to go beyond that. Like, what if we can shift into ease and still receive all the things that we love about our very highly productive lives, right? What if maybe we do not need to give that up in order to receive ease? And I think that's the true definition of ease. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about different ways that we can set ourselves up to shift into ease. And remember, an energy shift doesn't happen from one day to the next. And I think that that's why I'm feeling ease right now in May, but we'll probably see it come forward depending on how good we are with our steps here in like July, you know, late June, early July. And I think it would just be like a fun thing for us to do. Can we shift into ease over the next few months? And can we see our reality change in those next few months? So who's ready to play this game? All right. Okay. So I have 7 action steps for shifting into ease. Let's get into it. Number 1, ease is so powerful because what we're truly doing is creating an environment that works for us. That's why it's such a great word and it's such a great North Star to be like, I want all these things, but I want it with ease. So ease is not so much that you're being lazy or you're giving things up or you're sacrificing one thing for another, you're sacrificing your mental health, but not gonna make the same amount of money or not gonna go on a bunch of dates or not gonna, you know, have more people in your life. Ease is almost like I want these things, but with ease. It's like a flavor, you know, it's like I want ice cream, but I want it in this flavor. And that's really what ease is about. And in this, number one is really about how we set up that environment. So you have to know that you are going to create a whole new environment of ease. And it's an environment, ready for it, guys, that works for us. That is really what ease is. I live in a world that works for me. So when you think about that, think about something in your life that you have to do, but currently does not work for you. I think an easy one to look at is maybe our work, the way that we work. And maybe it's like, I work at this company and I work these amount of hours, or I have a business and this is the service that I give. And this is like how I have to show up. And we might be struggling because that schedule or that setup does not really work for us. And we typically are afraid of changing these schedules because we think like, oh, well, if I change the schedule, then I'm not gonna have a job. I'm not gonna have money anymore. But the promise of ease is that you are gonna have those things. You just have to be creative about it and really accept that there is an environment that works for you. And in that environment, there is still abundance and everything that you want. So the first step is really this mindset into what works for me works. That I am creating an environment that works for me. And when things work for me, my energy is so potent and vibrant that I receive and attract everything that I need. So this past weekend, I had two girlfriends come visit me who are like my deepest, closest soul sisters. And actually, they were like original clients of mine when I first started. And then they became my original collaborators. So they've, you know, one of them has done like creative direction for my business for many years. Another one has done videos for me. And they came this weekend and they were the ones that came up with the idea. They were like, we're going to come, we need to come. And I'm like, okay, cool. And of course, while they're here, they start like rearranging my set and like rearranging my brand. And it's like all these things that I need as I move and shift into this new brand that I'm shifting into. And it was just so funny. It was like, I've created an environment that I am so magnetic that it came to me, right? That I am supported, that these people came to me. They even traveled to me and like moved my office around. And it was because I've created an environment that works for me. And even though I've created this environment that works for me, doesn't mean that I have given up anything. And you would think these two friends of mine are from Miami. So, oh my gosh, I moved, right, to the middle of nowhere because this is what works for me, to live here on 30 acres of land. And you might think like, okay, well, you're giving up all your collaborators, you're giving up all your friends. And what's so funny is that I didn't give up any of that because they are actually coming to me these days. Actually, my girlfriends are scheduling a trip for October and everybody's coming here. And I'm going to spend more time with them than I would spend if I lived in Miami, right? So really believing that this environment that I live in, that I'm creating that works for me, works for everything else. So that's the first shift. And I know that, you know, step one is not like something physical, but it is a mindset shift. You have to be willing to convince yourself that an environment that works for you works. Number two, we have to mark this transition. So you're transitioning, right? An energy shift means that I'm transitioning from one identity to another identity. So we need to name this identity and we need to name the identity that we're going to, because that's gonna make everything easier. Because when you start to make an identity for where you're going, as you're going through your day to day, you're gonna ask yourself like, oh, is this the energy of this new identity, or am I in the energy of the old identity? So for example, you can be like, am I in the energy of the factory worker, or am I in the energy of the visionary? Or am I in Cinderella mode, or am I in queen mode, right? So we might say currently, when I look at my life, I'm Cinderella. Everybody throws everything on me. Nobody values me. I don't dress cute. I look like a mess. And I really want like all these things in my life. And you know, that's the shift I want to make. Cool. So I'd love for you guys to name it. So name what is the current vibe of right now, and this vibe of ease that you're going into, can you give it a name? And now that you've given it a name, when you go through your day to day, you're going to have to ask yourself honestly, how can I make this thing that I'm doing that's obviously triggering me, that I don't like, and how can I make it into the next vibe? So for example, I'm like all about the queen energy, guys. I live it very much in all areas, but I'm always tweaking it because sometimes I'll move into that Cinderella mode very quickly, especially as a mom of three and, you know, I have a big house and I have a husband, all the things. So funny enough, I was dragging my vacuum from the like main floor because we have three floors. We have basement, we have the main floor, and then we have the attic, which is where my office is. And I'm dragging this vacuum from the main floor down to the bottom floor, bringing it back up. And I'm like, this does not make me feel good. This is a total Cinderella vibe. And that doesn't mean that I need to now spend a bunch of money and hire a full-time housekeeper. No, that's not what it's about. That might be what I think, because if I'm coming from a place where I'm not thinking creatively and instead I'm like, oh, well, that just means I need more money. I need to work more. I need more money and I need to hire somebody full-time so that I'm not vacuuming. That's not really the answer. It's really like a simple thing, right? It would be like, okay, what's going to make me feel less Cinderella and more queen? And maybe that is, it would be nice if my family helped. Okay, cool. But my family, getting them to get the vacuum and bring it all the way down and vacuum the thing, everybody's going to be annoyed at that, right? I need to make a better setup. So I was thinking, okay, then simple. I just need a little simple light, like hand vacuum on the basement and in the attic. There needs to be an easy vacuum in every floor. Maybe it's not like a master huge vacuum, but a simple one so that everybody else can help, making it easy for everybody. And then that's me like going into that queen mode. So it's the task is still getting done in a weird way by me, or at least it's not a huge shift, but I'm looking at a problem and I'm coming up with a creative solution because I'm like, how do I do this in this new shift? We can name it, right? The name is ease, let's say. So if I am planning, let's say, summer vacation for the kids or for the family, a summer vacation, and I'm like, okay, I want to plan this in an easeful way, then that's going to bring me different ideas than if I had said like, oh, it needs to be like the best trip. It needs to be like change people's lives. And I can have all that, but I can have that with ease. So when I'm kind of faced with, okay, I have to book the flights and I need to do this, and I say, but I'm going to do this with ease and I'm going to plan this trip with ease, I'm going to attract creative solutions that still make that happen, but in an easeful way. So this is really about like, can you name this new place that you're going to? Maybe it's like easeful queen or easeful mom, whatever it may be, naming it, naming where you're currently at. This is the prove herself princess or something, you know, and I'm trying to go to easeful queen or easeful visionary or easeful creative or magnetic creative, right? Giving it a name. And then when you're feeling a little like, oof, you're doing a task and it's not working, it's maybe taking your energy, you're feeling a little triggered by it, you're feeling annoyed, frustrated by it, that's a great time to be like, okay, this still needs to get done. But if I was in that new energy that I'm moving into, what would I do here? So that has to be in your back pocket as you're shifting into ease. Number three, ease is about support. So ease is, I'm living in this environment that works for me, right? So obviously there is going to be a lot of support around me. And because of that, support is, of course, going to come from people, but support is also going to come mainly from systems. So my sense is that like as you look into ease, you're going to notice that a lot of your systems do not make your life easeful. So there's a need to look at your current system. So think about maybe how you pay your bills. Are you paying all your bills yourself manually? You know, I think about my dad like sitting at his desk and like writing a check, you know, or, you know, is there a better system for that? Or it could even be something like I have three credit cards and I'm going to do one instead because that's going to make it easeful. Or even I think about sometimes the support that we have in our house. Do I have three people helping me with three different things? Or maybe there's one person that can help me with all three, or somebody that works with you, maybe I can get one person that does all these things rather than having to talk to three different people. So there's something about looking at our systems, our support, that is really asking us to look at, can these systems actually create more ease and which are the systems that I currently have that do not make ease. My middle son likes to game. And when I say game, he likes to spend money on these games. I'm like, this is the worst. You're just like hanging out at your house and you're like, I'm in a safe place. But then all of a sudden, you might as well be like at Disney World because my kid comes up to me every 5 minutes and is like, I need $5 for this purple skin that is going to make me like jump from this moon to the next moon. I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was like safe from spending money right now. But like, here you are in the comfort of my house, ask me for money. And it's been a very annoying thing. It is the opposite of ease. And I think not even for me, but for him as well. He doesn't want to keep stopping and asking me for money. And we have this kind of tug of war. And finally, one day I got upset with him and he's like, Mom, I just need a way to make money. And it's almost like this system that we have between this kid is going to every once in a while need to have money to spend on the things that he wants. But does he really have to stop every single time to ask me? And also, what is my system around that? Does he get $20 a month? Does he get no money? Does he have to work for the money? So there was no system because he was younger and there wasn't a need for a system. Now that he's older, there's a need for a system of money because he's wanting to buy things, which is natural. And this system that we have where he has to stop and convince me every single time, which then gets me mad and gets him mad, is not working. It is not an easeful system. A friend of ours introduced me to that card, the green light card, I think is what it's called. And we just started using it and it has like an app connected to it. And basically you can give him allowance and they can do chores. And now he has the app on his phone. He can write out like the chores that he did do. We have like a list of chores that he can do and how much each chore cost. He can do them, add it there, and then I can move the money to his account and he can use his account as he wants. It's a credit card and he can attach his credit card to his games or whatever. And it lets me know. And it's a much more easeful system because we don't need to fight. It's not stopping our days, like either of our days. And it just cleans the energy. And that's really what an energy shift is about. From where I am to where I want to go, there's something messy about this energy and I want the energy to just flow. And our systems will either let the energy flow into the next stage, into like an easeful stage, or it will chop it all up, right? And it'll stop it. And there's like a bunch of traffic lights to get to where we're trying to go. If this one's really sticking out to you, start paying attention to the systems and look at which systems are not supporting ease. And then when you're like, okay, I got the system, this thing has to work, but is there a way to make it more easeful and allow yourself then to use your creative mind to come up with a nice solution and even attract the solution? Like when I was having that problem with Oliver, Benny was the one talking to a friend about, you know, how Oliver needed money for things. And that friend just brought us this new system. We were like, amazing. I didn't have to go looking for it. We attracted it because we opened up to the idea that there has to be a more easeful way. There has to be a better way. And that creative thought, while maybe I couldn't come up with it in the moment, we put it out there in the world and we received it through a friend. Number four, as you shift into ease, your best friend is going to be the word no. So ease is really this energy of less is more, I'm doing less, and the things that I'm doing are simple and easy for me to do, and the things that I'm not doing have a very simple and easy system that they flow through. Does that make sense? So you're going to set up your systems. We talked about that. But then what about the things that can't be done through a system that, you know, kind of fall on you and that require your manual attention? This is where the word no is coming in. Because if you are not saying a lot of no, then you're not shifting into ease. Because the idea is that we are coming here and there is something not easeful about where we're going. And if we are not using the word no, then we're not doing it right. No is going to be a big part of shifting in to this easeful place. And I don't feel like the no is forever, but my sense is that the no is a current halt, like a standstill. Like I need to take a break and no money can be spent right now until I find that new system, like the one I was telling you about with Oliver. There is almost like a break, a no to everything. Maybe it's like there's all this activity that I have, or I have all these different clients, or I have all these obligations that I have with friends and family, and it's just making everything very complicated. So I might have to do like a month of saying no to every obligation, doing like a 1 month detox to these obligations so that you can get your bearings. And that sometimes that no can also be like, no more of buying this until we get a handle of this. No more Amazon purchase this month until we get a handle of our budget, something like that. So no is basically saying we are not in this current flow, which is maybe like proving myself mode or working really hard for it or stressing myself out. There's a flow there. There's a flow. And the no basically stops that flow, even though you're not in the easeful flow yet, but it's like you have to stop that water from pouring in. So that no is like that barrier so that you can take a breather and then create and move into the next easeful way. This may not be forever, but it's for right now. Number five, less is more. So yeah, we're going to be saying no for some things that are kind of temporary, but during that no time, what's going to happen is you're going to discover what's going with you into this easeful place and what's not going with you. My sense is this is like projects or things that I take on, things that I do, right? In my business, I offer these services, but right now, out of five out of seven of them are difficult and complicated and take a bunch of steps, where two of them are very easeful. So in this step, this is like, if you are not letting go of things, then you are not doing ease correctly. Like there are going to be things that you have to leave behind that you are letting go of. And you'll see that probably through your systems, through the break of saying no, and really deciding what is coming with you and what is not coming with you. So if you're looking for ease, let's say in your business, it's really taking a pause to be like, what is coming with me in this new business of ease and what is not coming with me? So this is really about making a list. This feels easy to me. This feels easeful to me. And then on the other side of that list, being like, okay, these are all the things that feel difficult, that feel hard, that feel overcomplicated. And those things that look hard, that seem overcomplicated, right next to it being like, do I let go of it? Or is there a creative way to turn this into ease? So either it can shift into ease or it goes away. Those are the two choices here. You know, that vacuum story that I told you, I could have been like, am I just going to decide like I do not vacuum anymore? I have somebody here every single day. Like, yeah, that could have been an option. Or can I shift this task that is still mine in a big way, but shift it into more ease? And that's where the idea of coming up with these like little vacuums in each spot come from, right? As you shift into your easeful life, and you know, your easeful life might right now just be like a category. Like maybe it's like, I want my family life to be more easeful. I want my parenting. I want my work, you know, wherever it is. And making a list of all the things in that category that feel easeful and the things that don't feel easeful. And the things that don't feel easeful, can they shift into ease or do they need to be let go of altogether? Number six, the biggest change in this easeful shift is that your productivity is not going to be king anymore. So remember, the opposite of ease, right? You're coming from a place of, I need to work for this. I need to be productive. I need to earn this. I need to prove myself. I need to overwork, right? That is the opposite of ease. And in that place, there's a lot of doing. There's a huge to-do list. There's a ton of doing. It's almost like it's a life set up on being rewarded for how busy you are and for how much you do. And since this ease is all about creating an environment that actually works for you, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of downtime in this new place. And your productivity is no longer king. What is actually king or queen, and actually that's great because king is like more masculine and, you know, moving into ease is more feminine. And what is actually queen in this place of ease is your energy, is your vibration, is your energy source. So it's all about knowing that even if I'm doing less, I can be attracting and moving more than when I'm like doing a ton, right? So this kind of overproducing and working really hard, it's a bunch of checklists, being super productive. And there is a sense of pride about that. So now you're going to have to change your concept of this and be like, actually, I'm not proud of that. I don't want to be the busiest one in the room. I don't want to have the busiest schedule. I don't want to feel like the most productive person. What I want to reward myself for is for my highest vibration. So when I'm in this like really clear, easeful vibration and I'm attracting things, that's when I'm going to start high-fiving. Because ease is the idea that like I'm calling things towards me. So what I'm going to reward myself for is when I see that, oh my God, I just brought that into my life. I'm so supported. Like I said, these girlfriends of mine that showed up into my life, I was like rewarding myself for attracting them. I was like, look at that. I attracted friends to me. What I am doing is working because I'm attracting what I need. I need a soulful experience with them. I need like some support in the shift that's happening for me. I need friends, right? And I don't even have to leave my house for it. Like I have attracted it. So that is how I reward myself. I'm not going to reward myself for saying I did 8 hours of work today and I'm so proud of myself. So the reward shifts to being rather than doing. It's really changing where you're getting a hit from. You know, it's like that dopamine hit of being like, I did so much today, where rather it's like I'm rewarding myself for a totally different way of being, a totally different way of feeling. So it might be like, I spent this much time in nature today. You know, like I'm going to reward myself for that, because it's really this life of ease is about spending time in a way that actually gives to your energy. So it's like, what makes me the most creative? What makes me the most relaxed? What makes me the most joyful? Doing more of that and seeing that then, you know, the 20% of my time is the doing and the productivity, but it's so potent because of the 80% of my time that was spent really focusing more on my energy and how I'm showing up and what I'm actually putting out rather than what I'm doing. So for this tip, it's about changing your reward system. And if you need to like make a little journal with stars and give yourself a little chart, amazing. If you want to give yourself a star for every time you focused on your being rather than your doing, that is the goal. If you can do it in your head, cool. But if you want an actual physical chart, I love that idea. And maybe on your agenda or where you keep track of your day, you can give yourself a star for what you were being rather than what you were doing. And lastly, number 7, we are going to track how many times we say thank you or I appreciate this. Because ease is about receiving. It is the opposite of pushing. It's the opposite of doing, right? It's this ocean or this flow of receiving. And what it feels like, it's going to be in your heart and it's going to be like, thank you so much. Thank you for valuing me, for valuing what I do. It's a place of value. And I appreciate this support that you're giving me so much. Tracking your thank you, and not like just like the thank you that you're just saying, it's truly like a heartfelt thank you, like a heartfelt gratitude that people just seem to keep giving to you and receiving, and that you are getting comfortable with that. The more comfortable you can get with your thank yous, your receiving, your I appreciate this so much, and that feeling in your heart, that means that your capacity in your heart is opening and therefore giving you more ease. So the more comfortable you can feel like that, that is the game you're trying to win at. Like, how comfortable can I get with receiving this flow of ease that is coming my way, this love that is coming my way, this support that is coming my way, this value of me coming my way? And the reason you track your thank you is because you're actually creating an environment where you are valued. Remember, we talked about this is an environment that works for me. But in addition to working for me, it's a environment that values me, that values who I am. So, you know, if I'm a person that can't really get started with the day until 11, because that's what works for me, then I don't want to give myself a job that starts at 7, right? So I am going to put myself in a place that actually values me and works with my system. And I can easily sit into that place and be like, yeah, I am not going to force working at 7 because like I'm a person that starts at 11. And I appreciate that I can do this. I appreciate that, you know, my system is set up that way, that people support me that way. So really creating this place of value. I have this environment of value. For example, like when I do readings, I only do them in the afternoon because that's actually what works for me. And when I feel like people make time to see me at that time, I feel very valued and I feel like this is an environment that values me rather than being like, well, people can only talk to me at 7 o'clock at night. So I'm going to open up my calendar for 7 o'clock or like, oh, people work during the week. So I'm going to open up sessions on Sundays, even though those times don't work for me. I'm going to feel like I'm in an environment that doesn't value me. So I actually want to be in a place where I am valued. So I set it up around a schedule that works for me and really just let my reality meet me there because I believe that I can be valued and that I can live in a world that values me. And like a good mother, I'm going to put myself in a situation where I can be my best. So it's not about doing a bunch, but actually being in that moment where like my energy is the most potent because I'm setting it around a time and place that works for me. So for this one, my suggestion would be taking out your journal and writing down the times that you feel valued. Or what is a life where you are actually valued? What does that look like? What does it feel like? What are you doing? Who are you working with? Who do you have around you? What does it look like to be valued for you? And really seeing how you can bring those things into your life and really just like letting that inner child or that heart space write down like, you know what? This would actually make me feel very valued. And when somebody does this to me, I actually feel the opposite of value, right? So maybe it's like, I feel very valued when people show up on time to meet with me and right now they're not. Or I feel very valued when my family helps me clean the house and right now they are not. So realizing like, okay, if I felt valued, I'd have maybe a family that's supporting me and, you know, helping me clean up the house. Okay, great. So what are some systems or what are some shifts that I can do in order to make that happen? Okay, friends, so we have a lot of to-dos here. I want you to think about which are the ones you really want to put into place. It sounds like most of them have a pen and paper situation going on and really seeing where it is that you're going to get the most bang for your buck. You're like, you know what? Out of all those things, if I just do this one thing, I think it's really going to shift me into ease. Because remember, one little shift will actually move the whole boat to where it's trying to go. So it's like how we do one thing is how we do everything. So you don't have to do everything here. And remember, we're trying to be less productive and more being. So where can you actually put this into your life and really bring the most bang for your buck? I'm excited to see how you shift into ease. Keep me posted. Let me know how it's going. I love you so much and I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.